We're going to pray. I'm just going to reach out to across right now, across Sydney, and to my dad in Yass and Juliet in Borley. Maybe Al's watching in Mexico, I don't know, to Geraldton, but to all of you right now who are gathered with us, let's kind of join in faith across the airwaves and link up. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you that relationship is not dependent upon being in the same room. And we thank you that unity and what you do in our hearts links everywhere. God, to those who are kind of joining in today who aren't always in our Sunday space, I thank you, God, for the body of your church today.
Yes,
I thank you, God, that you're connecting us up in new ways. It's wonderful. And so, God, we just bless your church today. God, we bless every single community and congregation who are in their own ways just adjusting and adapting to what's going on in our world. God, we pray across the world today for your church, and we thank you, God, you're at work and you're building, and we bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Had a text from a mate of ours who lives in Sri Lanka, actually, and he and his wife and two young children went to Sri Lanka just late last year to kind of start a church, plant a church. And anyway, Nathan is his name. He messaged me and he said, David, we are in total lockdown. He lives in Colombo. It's a city of 2.5 million people. And if you leave your home, you get arrested. That's what it's like. And on Tuesday morning for 4 hours, he legally can leave his home to buy groceries. And it is completely off the charts in that place. And another mate of mine who pastors a church in Birmingham in the UK, we've been chatting just two Sundays ago at this church. They actually took up a building offering to finish this new building that's been a vision of theirs for about 3 years. It's next to the football stadium in the heart of Birmingham. And anyway, he said, last week was the worst week of my life. As a church pastor, this dream and this vision to have a building and to give to it and all of the effort and all of the faith that's involved in that, all of a sudden they can't use the building and they have had to actually shut down public space just like we've had to do. And, you know, the reality is, I think all of us listening today, all of us in this room across the globe today, we will never be the same again. I believe we're never going to be the same again, and I think that's actually going to be a good thing. I believe that there's a faith side to that statement. It's bizarre, isn't it? All you guys know that buying toilet paper is a bit of a deal. We found out yesterday buying webcam and equipment like that is almost as scarce as toilet paper. There is just so much of an impact out of this virus. But Mark Zaire, who is kind of one of our spiritual fathers, mentors, lives in Newcastle, he messaged us and he said about today, he said, today creates church history. I believe that.
Yes.
Today creates church history. The church is changed forever.
Yeah.
And it will become greater, not less. Can you say amen from wherever you are out there in digital land? not least that gathering today is under attack. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Gathering is under attack of the enemy, but gathering is being redefined by God.
Yes, that's very good.
That's good, isn't it? Gathering is being redefined by God to usher in a new day for the church. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
You know, just last week, Sunday, in our regular space that used to be our regular space at PCYC, and God willing, we'll be back there. But Richard and I had our first conversation. I said, Richard, I think we need to think about how we can stream our services. It's the first time we've ever really even had that conversation just 1 week ago. And here we are. I didn't for a moment think that it would need to be so fast, but it is, and here we are. And today there's empty church buildings everywhere around the globe. Today we face the reality of an Easter that will be an Easter where the church can't meet like we're used to meeting. And but here we are. How are you going with the change out there? How's it affecting you? We'd love you to text in and share, you know, all kinds of things that can be just part of us all sharing in this journey, learning from each other, grabbing what we believe the Lord's up to, because he is, and we will never be the same again. And I'm actually kind of pleased about that, because I think it's going to be a wonderful future for us. Global disruption is here right now, and you know, our Prime Minister's saying that this is a 1 in 100 years type of event. And someone else shared with me recently that by the year 2035, that change that would normally be experienced over 100 years is going to get compressed into a 6-month period. And I would certainly have to say we're in rapid change, isn't that true?
Yeah.
We're in rapid change. So. But I actually think it's good today to remember that Jesus is a disruptor.
Yeah.
Jesus is a disruptor. Jesus actually came to bring his kingdom, and it is an upside down kingdom. It is a kingdom that actually turns a lot of things on its head. And just think about that time Jesus walked into the temple and he turned the tables upside down. Could it be that he's turning stuff upside down in our world that actually is good to be changed? This is actually, I believe, a time of great change for us all. But we want you to know that alongside of that, there's massive issues going on, massive need, massive hurt, massive lack. We want to stay connected. I think Eve's ideas were good. I want to encourage us all to reach out more than ever. I believe this can be a time when we connect more than we did last week. I believe this is a time when we can actually find new ways to connect and love. So let's do that. But some people say, you know, God has maybe initiated or caused the coronavirus. I don't think that's true. I believe that that God actually is a good God. I believe that when he makes things and creates things, he says of those things they're good. And this virus certainly does not fit into that. But I believe God can use this coronavirus for his purposes. And just for a few minutes, I'm going to share a little bit about that. We actually feel, Eve and I, as in our Hive context, and we sort of want to put this out there to everybody who might be listening today who may not always be connected to some of the communications that we do, but we feel it's a day for us to step up how we communicate and to increase more regularly how we put things out there that can encourage and feed. And so we're actually thinking now of a different paradigm. It's not Sunday to Sunday, and Sunday's the only day. We are asking God how it is that we can communicate more frequently with you. So we'll share how that is going to look, but you never know. We might be in front of these things a bit more often just to actually be literally present a bit more in each other's world. So So I believe today, just in a good way, that we can learn from the Sermon of the Mount. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And back, I don't know, 2004 or 5, I think, Eve and I went to Israel, and we actually sort of walked around in this space where the Sermon of the Mount historically was thought to have taken place. And it intrigues me on a day like today, when communicating and preaching and being with each other is so different. It intrigues me that the King of Preachers never needed to have a microphone. King of Preachers never needed to have a PA or a stage. King of Preachers didn't need to have a kind of a state-of-the-art auditorium. King of Preachers did not need to have lighting, didn't need a worship band. The King of Preachers just hung out with people. And in that day, I'm pretty sure that the Sermon on the Mount would not have cut it, insofar as the social isolation or social distancing measures today would need it to look. Wherever Jesus was, people were. And they pressed in to hear him. They were drawn to this heart of a wonderful Saviour. And Sermon on the Mount took place in an outdoor gathering. I don't think they would have had hand sanitizer there ready for people to utilize if they wanted to. But nonetheless, the King of Preachers said some incredible words. I'm going to read them to you. If you have a Bible, or you just want to write down this reference somewhere, or look it up on your iPhone, or your, whatever it is that you device you have. Excuse me, I'm going to be reading from Matthew 5, and I'm in the Passion Translation. I'm just going to read out the text because I think it's such a great, rich message for today. I'm in verse 3. Jesus says, "What wealth is offered to you when you feel your spiritual poverty? For there is no charge to enter the realm of God's kingdom. What delight comes to you when you wait upon the Lord? For you will find what you long for. What blessing comes to you when gentleness lives in you? For you will inherit the earth." Verse 6, "How enriched you are when you crave righteousness, for you will be surrounded with fruitfulness. How satisfied you are when you demonstrate tender mercy, for tender mercy will be demonstrated to you." I think that's pertinent for our time. "What bliss you experience when your heart is pure, for then your eyes will be open to see more and more of God." There are a few things that I feel just early signs for what it is that God might be doing, and how it is that he could use this time that we're in. And the first is to say, I think that this could be a time when there is a recovery of healthy hunger. A recovery of healthy hunger. A recovery of a time when we as a society, when we as a nation, when nations that we are neighbours with, that we will actually be hungry for the things that are good. We'll be hungry for relationship. We'll be hungry for the meaning of life. We'll be hungry for human dignity. We'll be hungry for a different set of values that cause us to not be stockpilers, but to be stewards, to not be grabbers, but to be givers, to not live out of a fortress mentality, but to live out of a mentality that says, how can I show favour and love my neighbour as myself? I feel as if we could be in a time where we actually are hungry like never before for the things of God. I wonder if God could do that in this time. I wonder if you feel that. I wonder if you would pray perhaps into that possibility. Because Jesus says, what wealth is offered to you when you feel your spiritual poverty? Could it be God would use this time that people would actually acknowledge within their own hearts, I have a need for God? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah. If that came out of this time? I believe it will. And I believe that God would want to actually bring about in all of our hearts, even as a community of faith, people who have walked with God for a while, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a recovery of our first love? Wouldn't it be wonderful if, as a church community, we had more of a desire to be with God, to be in his presence, to be with a people of faith, to be in a fellowship place, even though fellowship looks different? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a recovery of healthy appetite and hunger? I believe that could be happening. I'm praying about that. Wouldn't it be wonderful, point number two, if God would use this time for a repurposing of peace, for a repurposing of peace? Jesus talks about in this passage what in verse 9, how blessed you are when you make peace. Wouldn't it be wonderful, and this is my prayer, this is what I believe God will do during this time, if we actually realise that peace can be transmitted. Peace is caught, not taught. I actually think peace is also taught. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we can be peacemakers simply by carrying the peace of Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be wonderful if people actually feel safer when they communicate with us, even though it might not be face-to-face? Wouldn't it be wonderful to believe for, and I think this is going to happen, where people will be drawn to your communication, drawn to your heart, drawn to the things that you see and perspective that you carry for this time. Because see, peace is actually transformational. Peace is trans-border. Peace can go right now in Jesus' name to Allison in Mexico.
Yeah.
That's transmitted, do you understand? Yeah. Peace can go to you in your home. Peace can go to your neighbour. But we need to transmit it, and we need to step into our mandate to be carriers of peace. I believe this could be a time where there is a purposing of peace, where we actually are purposeful, intentional peacemakers. And that's going to change our society. It's going to change our community. It's going to change our nation. I believe that's what God is doing. Point number three, so we've talked about a recovery of healthy hunger, a repurposing of peace. Point number three, I believe that this could be a time for a reformation, if you like, a reformation of God's presence. This is a time, I believe, when we will more clearly understand that God's presence is not about auditoriums and platforms, but it's actually about the twos and threes. It's actually about what I carry, who I carry in my heart, the actual presence of God in me. This is a day, it could be 6 months, or it could be longer, where presence looks entirely different. Where presence is this, it's actually digital. It's virtual. We're joining to each other. Where fellowship is a different paradigm. That's going to be a change for us all. But I believe God is reforming our notion of presence, and we're no longer going to be completely thinking that presence and worship is dependent upon a big space, and the bigger the space, the better it could be. But rather, presence is online, and presence is twos and threes. What does the word of the Lord say? Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. Wouldn't it be a thing to purpose our vision for, that this will be a time where that scripture comes to life like never before? A reformation of presence. And fourthly and lastly, I believe that this could be also a time for a reset for the church. A reset for the church globally. I believe this could be a time where we shift, and this is my prayer, from an emphasis on programs to emphasizing people. A shift from the clerical to the laity, from pastors doing the ministry to the people doing ministry. I believe God could be repurposing our entire church. All of a sudden, during this coming week, even today, there's million-dollar properties that can no longer be used. There's programs that used to happen in those properties that can't actually be held. I believe God is actually perhaps just helping us to have a different paradigm for how it is that you and I, all of us, carry the gospel within us, carry the Holy Spirit within us, carry his power within us, carry capacity to bless people, influence people, and speak life into people. And could it be that 6 months from now, 12 months from now, we look around and we say, thank you, God. Yeah. It was very awkward, and it was costly in many, many ways. But look at what you've done. Yeah. Look at what you've done in my heart. Look at what you've done in your hearts. Look at what you've done in the church. Look at what you've done in our community. Look at what you've done in turning people to the Lord like never before. I believe that's where we're going. And I'm going to simply share with you a story that someone emailed me overnight. Very, very kind of challenged my heart. The doctor in the Wuhan, if I've got the word right, province where this virus allegedly first broke out. The doctor who was the person who, as it were, was the whistleblower for actually letting the world know there is a problem. The doctor who, according to this email, died of the virus on February the 9th, just not long ago. The doctor whose wife is still alive, who also has the virus, and she's about to give birth to their second baby. The doctor who I was stunned to find out actually himself was a Christian man.
Wow.
Was a godly man. A doctor motivated by really that upside down paradigm of the kingdom. Excuse me, it moves me even to think about it. The doctor who literally gave his life that others would be able to be alerted for what this virus could be. The doctor who gave his life in the care of many, many to alleviate their suffering. The doctor, and we'll circulate this email during the week to you all, who wrote a glorious poem, and it's been translated in Chinese. But to me, it exhibits the life of a man who hungered and thirsted after righteousness. The man who was prepared to live in the upside down paradigm of the kingdom of God. And the doctor today who will probably be more influential and more effective in a relatively short life because he did that. That's actually the upside down thinking and heart of the kingdom that we're all part of. And I encourage us all to consider how it is that we can serve each other serve our neighbours, serve humanity, be givers, not takers, be sharers, not hoarders. And I believe we're in for a wonderful future as the church. And I want to honour that doctor. His name's Dr. Lee. I have his name, full name on an email. But people like that, legends of the faith, who have actually completely revolutionised our future out of a life of sacrifice, out of a life of hungering after the right things. So I'm going to invite you to pray with me. I just felt to just lead us in a prayer that is the most well-known prayer in Scripture, the Lord's Prayer, and I figure there's a fair chance you could, from wherever you're listening, could pray this with me. We're going to pray it in the room here. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Let's give you a moment if you want us to look it up. Matthew 6, verse 9, the words of Jesus in the New King James Version, and then I'm going to hand back to Eve. But let's pray together, and if you would do this from wherever you are, just stand in your room, stand in your lounge room. If you're in your car, probably not a good idea to stand. But I'm reading the Lord's Prayer, and I just want to invite us to pray this together, just as a way of closing off our first online gathering. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody all around the spaces of digital life said, Amen. God bless you, everybody.